to look at Jehovah's servant Job in the book of Job. Man had put this in the category of the books of poetry and wisdom. And Job covers 42 chapters according to the way man had broken up the scroll of Job. We don't know when it was written. We don't know anything of the author. What we do know about the book of Job is found basically in the first chapter in verse 1, where we see that a man from Uz named Job, he was blameless, he feared God, and he stayed away from evil. And this is the type of individual that we are going to look at this evening. The key thought in the book is the righteous are purified by trials. Many of us encounter different trials and tribulations in our life. And when we look at Job, the book of Job, he is an example for us to emulate in our lives. God permits trials to test Job, and three of his friends gave bad counsel to Job. Elihu gives sound advice, and God restores Job's material wealth. The key lesson in this particular book is suffering may come for a while, but the end of the suffering, God grants his favor and grace. Job always put God first. Even when he was suffering. And we see that Jesus suffered as the Messiah for the sins of the world. And Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And we see that in the book of Job, he was looking for a mediator to stand before God, Jehovah, and him. And Job, in the 19th chapter, verses 23 through 27, the writer reveals that Job placed his hope in his Redeemer and was totally convinced that the Redeemer lives. If we were to just look at the story of Job, we could get it. He suffered. He lost everything. His friends gave him bad counsel. He spoke to God, and then God restored him. But there's more to Job than that. We see in the first chapter, beginning with verse 6 through the second chapter, verse 10, that the human race is exposed to Satan. We came across Satan in the Garden of Eden, and he's been around, but now we see that he wants faithful people to be pulled away from God. We also see that Job, his faith was solid. And we know that he put God first. And that's awesome as a reminder to us. Here's an Old Testament document, book that encourages those who are suffering. We see in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, how Peter encourages those saints of the first century who were facing trials in their life for their faith. So God has given us, via the Holy Spirit, some lessons to ponder in our lives. Because eventually, we are not going to escape suffering. Whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual. We know that Satan is out there to trying to lure us away from God. And by reading Job, you can appreciate what God is trying to stir up in your hearts. For example, in the later part of this lesson, we'll see how Job's prayer is so impactful that it came from his heart. And that's the way our prayers should come from. Should come from our hearts. We know that we have sin in our lives. And it's up to you and I to try to remove that sin. But when we suffer, it's inevitable that we will, in some way, shape, or form, we should not turn our backs on God. We should acknowledge that he is the creator, as Job did in the 39th chapter, and that when we do sin, we should look to God for repentance, that in order that he may save us. We have Jesus as our mediator, and it's up to you and I to go to God through him. In the first three chapters, in chapters 1-3, God tests Job's faithfulness through allowing Satan to attack him. And that's an interesting dialogue that God had with Satan. And Satan knows God's powers. Satan knows God's ability. Satan wanted to be equal to God, but he wasn't. So God kicked him out of heaven. So God, Satan knows God. And through Job's trials, all is lost, including his health. So when we experience loss in our lives, whether it be monetarily, loss of job, loss of health, remember Job. He went through these things. The writer of this particular book is sharing with his readers at that particular time. And when you look at where he came from, Uz, it's near a place called Midian. And we know that Moses went to Midian. And that's where he married his wife. So it's a pretty interesting dialogue that God has with Satan. And his wife, Job's wife, even tells him to curse God and commit suicide. But he remained strong and faithful. No matter What happened in our lives? We should always put God first, and we are all faithful to make count. Can I get a volunteer to read Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, please?
12 through 22.
Then Job rose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return to thee. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God.
Thank you, Carol. So we see that Job's attitude was not to blame God. God blessed him, and God could take things away, just as he does in our lives. And through all this, he still worshiped God. He still put God first. He did not sin, and he did not blame God. Something that we should reflect on in our lives today, no matter what calamities we encounter, no matter what trials and tribulations we are faced with, just remember to put God first. Everything is secondary. We are living here temporarily on this earth. And one day, by God's grace and mercy, we will have eternal life. Not by what we do, not by our works, not by our actions, but by God's grace and mercy, we will have eternal life. In chapters 4 through 37, Job's friends give him plenty of bad advice in rounds of discussion. They mistakenly blame his sufferings on his personal sins rather than on God's testing of Job. One of them was half correct in that God wanted to humble him, but this was only a part of God's test. So when you read those dialogues, we can see how they were blaming Job's sufferings on his personal sins. And Job stood up to them and said, "Look, I did not sin. It's not in my vocabulary to sin. And it shouldn't be in our lives to sin like God's servant Job." In chapters 38 through 42, God speaks to Job and restores him. A lot of commentators see that these particular verses show that Job possibly lived in the time of Abraham, and he was a patriarch that God communicated with. We don't know that. It's not written down for us. We don't know the author who penned this particular book. But we do know that in this book, we see that suffering humbles individuals. Suffering, we lose things, but yet our faith should be strong. God knows that Job has received incorrect guidance from his friends. God fittingly declares that humans do not know everything. God is very knowledgeable. He knows our thoughts. Then he humbles Job by asking a series of questions that can never be answered by anyone other than Almighty God. So God knows the hearts of each individual. He knows Job's heart. And He's putting him through the test. We experience tests in our lives today. We suffer. May not be as the sufferings as Job, but we do have sufferings in our lives today. Where do we put our trust? Where do we put our faith? A question we should be pondering upon in our walk of life here on earth. God then brings to him an understanding that believers always know what God is doing in their lives. Don't always know what God is doing in their lives. We as Christians know God is in control. We see horrible things in the world today. We see how leaders of countries who pervert their position for their own wealth and gain rather than being representatives of the people. And we know this, that God had allowed them to do this. And it's up to you and I to respect the office that they're in. We may not respect the person who has that particular office, but we as Christians know that God created these governments. God had put those governments in position. And we should respect those governments. Again, we don't have to respect the person in that position, but we have to respect that particular position. God then blessed Job with twice as much as he had before his trial began. God knows what's good for you and I, and he will bless us according to his grace and mercy. Job, meaning the cry of woe, was poetic. Job possibly lived about the time of Abraham. We don't know this, but we could surmise that he probably did. Though he was a righteous man, he was allowed by God to suffer intensely under the hand of Satan. His three friends assume that to merit such suffering, Job must have been guilty of flagrant hidden sin. And in their speeches, they sought gently at first, then more cruelly to extort some such confession from him. Job protested his own innocence and felt that God's dealings with him were without reason. He didn't question God for what was happening to him. He didn't blame God. It's God's will and it will be done. That was his attitude. Through Job's example of suffering, God teaches man how to persevere in suffering. Now we suffer in our lives. We may have picked up a splinter. We go ballistic sometimes. But you look at the suffering that Job was under. It was tremendous. And he still revered God. That's a lesson in itself for you and I. To be silent and humble no matter what situation we are in, because God is in control. Nobody has it better than Job. He's righteous. He's rich. And he has a big, happy family. He had a total of 10 children. And we see that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. abruptly changed. And one day his children die when a building collapses, his employees are slaughtered, and his cattle is stolen. Then painful boils break out on his skin. Job loses everything and is left wondering why. He was faithful. He put God first, but yet God took all the blessings away from him. And Job is wondering what's going on here. Why is this happening to him? The answer, someone wants to prove that Job will curse God. And this is the central conflict of the book. God's going to take everything away from Job. And since he doesn't have these things, he's going to forget about God. It's Job's test. He will abandon his faith or remain loyal to God. And that's something that we should reflect on in our lives when we have trials and tribulations. Are we going to abandon our faith? Are we going to be loyal to God? We all encounter those tests in our lives, and it's up to you and I to remember Job and what he had gone through. Remember what the saints in the first century had gone through for their faith. And you today, remember what you are going to do. Stand up for Christ at all costs. You may lose your friends. You may lose your family. You may even lose your job. You may even lose your health. But remain faithful to God. And that's the lesson we could extrapolate from the book of Job. An adversary attacks Job. God tells Satan that Job is blameless and an upright man. But Satan points out that God has blessed Job abundantly. Then Satan argues that Job is just returning the favor and asserts that Job will turn on God if his blessings were taken away. What about you today? We are blessed with so many things in our lives, so many material things, so many spiritual things. We have a physical family. We have a spiritual family that is there for us. When we encounter sufferings in our life, are we going to turn our backs on God? If our blessings are taken away, are we going to still remember that God is in control? I hope we do. God gives Satan a chance to prove it. Immediately rips everything he can away from Job. What if that happened to you today? Were you left with nothing? What will your life be without Christ in it? What will your life be without worshiping God? But Job does not curse God. He remembers that God is in control and it's God's will, not man's will, but God's will. He had given Job everything and he could take it away from him as he could do with us today. He blesses us with a multitude of blessings, but God could take that away from us. But Job does not curse God. What is your attitude when things go awry in your lives? When things are looking bleak? We shouldn't rely on our own knowledge, our own control. We should rely on God. And that's what Job does. Job mourns while his friends accuse him. Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, came to comfort him, and Job begins to lament his loss to them. Job's friends tell him that this suffering must be brought on by Job's sins, and he should repent. Job argues back that he has not incurred any punishment. Job wishes he could plead his case to God. So he's looking for a mediator. And we could see in the book of Job that Jesus is our mediator. Job has a longing for a mediator to stand between him and God. And he says so in the 9th chapter, verses 33 to 35, and also the 33rd chapter, 23 and 25. And I made reference to this earlier, that Job placed his hope in his Redeemer, who was totally convinced that his Redeemer lives. Again, Job 19, chapter, verses 27. We suffer in our lives. We suffered a lot in our lives. Don't put the blame on God, but rather go to him and pray to him and ask him for help. Still, Job does not curse God in all this time when he's talking to his friends. Job and his friends go back and forth three times on this issue. And then a young bystander named Elihu jumps in. And he's a young man. Elihu, a young man, speaks God's truths so affect Job's conscience that he has no answer. And Elihu, we could look at, is a type of Jesus, the interpreter of God's ways. We are so fortunate that God has sent his only son, his only begotten son, here on this earth to experience the same things that you and I experience in our life as we dwell on this earth, so he can understand what we go through. He can understand what affects us. But more important, he had given us the way, the truth, and the life through him, so that you and I may have the opportunity of eternal life. God answers Job. After Elihu weighs in, God speaks to Job. God challenges Job's understanding by reminding Job of his wisdom, sovereignty, and power. We should reflect upon that. God's wisdom we have given us through his Spirit in the writings of the Scripture. God's sovereign power and power are seen in this world today. And if you miss that, you're totally missing out on what God expects from the human race. But God challenges Job and reminds him of his wisdom, his sovereignty and power. That must have been an awesome conversation. Here is his servant Job who is experiencing all these trials and tribulations, all this loss. But yet God tells him, I'm in control. God points to many marvels of creations which demonstrate that the Creator's wisdom is higher than man's conception, and that in comparison, man's wisdom is pathetic ignorance. When we put ourselves in a position that we know more than what God knows, we are not serving God. When you look at the universe, we could see God's creation. Man didn't put this together. God did. God's wisdom is higher than man's. Job is restored. God is Job humbly concedes that God's will is unstoppable, and he repents. And God also reprimands Job's friends for misrepresenting him. There's another lesson we could extract from the book of Job. When we approach God, in a way that we humble ourselves before the Almighty. We're not equal to God. We're, according to Jesus, we're Jesus' friend. But yet when we approach God the Father, we do so in a manner that we humble ourselves before God and we reverence him. Finally, God restores Job. He becomes twice as wealthy. He again is blessed with children, and he dies at a ripe old age. So God's going to take care of his people, as he did with Job. The book of Job helps us to understand God. It also helps us to understand his creation. It helps us understand our relationship with him. It helps us understand how we should respond to him. And also it helps us understand that we are to submit to the hand of God. God is in control, not us. And as Christians, we should understand what he expects from his creation, us, how we are supposed to have a relationship with God, and we do. We have a marvelous relationship through Christ Jesus. It helps us understand how we should respond to God. In times of suffering and trials in our lives, we should seek God's counsel. We could seek God's help. We should ask for his wisdom in our lives. We should understand that we are supposed to submit, obey God. You know, it's interesting when people have reading programs of the Bible, they read the books right through. I read everything. But do they understand what the books say? Do they understand how God is communicating to them through his word? How he is speaking and instructing you on how to live a righteous and godly life? Job is not said to be a Hebrew. Uz is not in the land of Israel. Can I get a volunteer to read Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 21, please.
Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, whom dwells in the land of Uz.
Thank you, Di. And how about Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 19 through 20, please?
Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people, and all the foreign people, all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, even Ashkelon, Gezer, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod.
Thank you, Faye. So Uz is a real place. And Job was God's servant in that particular place. Job makes sacrifices on behalf of others. And there's no mention of Levitical priests nor of God's covenant law with Israel. Can I get a volunteer to read Job chapter 1 and verse 5, please?
When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. I had a question about that. We have to repent of our own sins, but he repented for his, well, I don't know if repented, but he offered burnt offerings for his children. So that's just different than we do.
Yeah, he had a relationship with God. He wasn't an Israelite who we know, hold on one second please, who we know that God had given the law and the Levitical priesthood. And here is Job, who lives in not in Israel, but in Uz, he's making offerings and sacrifices to God. He is offering sacrifices, burnt offerings to God. And he's not a priest, a Levitical priest.
Lenny?
Yeah, go ahead, Carol.
Could it be the fact that as the head of the family, Job owned all of the assets, so the sacrifices all came from his herds, and I mean his sons don't own them basically, but they work for him, so that sort of explains a little bit of why he might have been offering.
I possibly could, but we could see that he did reverence God by offering up sacrifices. And it's interesting that he wasn't an Israelite. So there were people who worshiped God back in the day. And they did it in such a way to bring glory to God. Very good point. Okay, as we continue, Job focuses on God's role as sovereign creator. And that's something that we've been studying in this year, the sovereignty of God. And he is our sovereign creator. The book of Job attests God's creative power, wisdom, and authority. So when you read Job, you could see that God's in control, not man. It's God's will, not man's will. And God made the universe. We can trust that he knows how to rule it. God's in control. Which brings us, he restricts Satan during Job's testing. And we see in Job chapter 1 and verse 12, then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. In Job chapter 2 and verse 6, can I get a volunteer to read that one, please?
The Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life.
Thank you, Ed. So we see that God puts some restrictions on Satan not to take Job's life. And Job's put through the test. We go through a lot of tests in our lives. How do we fare out? That's something what we should consider. And Job serves as an example of how the righteous are not immune to suffering. We are going to suffer in our lives. We're going to experience trials and tribulations. But he serves us as an example to you and I today. And he didn't curse God. He didn't blame God. Can I get a volunteer to read James chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, please?
As an example, brethren, suffer in patience. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful.
Thank you, Carolyn. So we see that when we, James refers to the endurance of Job. We see the patience of Job. We see that he didn't curse God for all his loss. He still revered God. He still feared the Lord. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. We know Satan's out there. We know that he will do all in his power to try you, to lure you away from God. But resist him. Stay strong in your faith. We know that when we experience sufferings, we are strengthened by that. And our faith is built, grows. And it's up to you and I to always remember that God is first in our lives. Job suffered while innocent. Job did not commit any sin that led him to suffering. On the contrary, Job's suffering came about as God allowed Satan to test his faith. God allowed Satan to attack Job spiritually, emotionally, and physically, but never to the point of death. Job did not curse God, but rather the day that he was born. Can I get a volunteer to read Job chapter 3 and verse 1, please?
Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth.
Thank you. So we see that Satan attacked Job spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And Job didn't curse God about it. What's your attitude today when you are suffering? What's your attitude today when you experience trials and tribulations in your life? I hope and pray that you seek God first. Ask for his counsel. Ask for his wisdom. Because we know what happens to us is God's will, not our will. Job communicated to God through his prayer that was deep intimate and honest. And we are so privileged to have Jesus as our mediator, that we could approach God the Father through prayer. We could ask him to help us, and we do. We could ask him to guide us. When we open up our Bibles, it's up to you and I to seek God's counsel first. Ask him for the wisdom so we can meditate on his word. Ask us to open our hearts so that we could accept what he's telling us. We may not like what he says sometimes, because we all sin and we fall short of God's grace and glory. But we are so privileged as his children to approach him through Christ. And Job communicated to God through his prayer. Can I get a volunteer to read Job chapter 7, verse 19 through 20, please?
Will you never turn your gaze away from me, nor let me alone until I swallow my spittle? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself?
Thank you, Eileen. So he's communicating to God, and we could do the same thing in our lives. We could ask God for help. We could ask God for his wisdom. We could search the scriptures to see how we are supposed to live our lives. As Christians, we can talk to God through prayer about things going on well in our lives as well as our troubles. So we are privileged that as Christians, we have this platform that we could approach God with. God's love, Job's loved ones didn't help. We see that Job's wife was the first to reveal her lack of faith in God. In Job chapter 2 and verse 9, then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." Job's three friends bore witness to his suffering and gave Job bad advice. If you want some good advice, go to God's word. Seek God's counsel through his scriptures so that you could live a righteous and godly life. Job was restored. Job gained more than he lost. He was restored in all aspects of his life, health, family, and finances. God showed Job favor as he remained faithful in his belief. God's love for Job was always present. And he's there for you and I today. He is always there for us. He allows us to experience trials to make us better people and expose weak areas in our lives. God wants us to grow in the faith, not just be stagnant, not become a Christian and then just stay there, but he wants us to grow in our love for him, grow in our love towards our brothers and sisters and our neighbors. Job kept his faith. Job prayed, struggled, and eventually overcame. He never stopped having a relationship with God, nor did he curse God, as his wife encouraged him to do in the second chapter. Job's steadfast faith offers proof that no matter what life circumstances give you, you could count on God. And when you read the book of Job, you could see that there are a lot of opportunities to dwell upon what suffering will do for you as a human being. and as a Christian. Whether Christians are spiritually, emotionally, or physically stricken, they can keep their trust in God. He will at some point deliver them from their troubles and make them for the experience. So in Job 14:4, we read, who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Sin separates man from God. The answer to Job's anguished question is found in Jesus Christ. He has paid the penalty for our sin and has exchanged it for his righteousness, thereby making us acceptable to God. How great is that? Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. Can I get a volunteer to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, please?
For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified.
Thank you, Ann. So as you reflect upon scriptures, we could see that the Holy Spirit has given us the answer, and that is Jesus Christ. In Job chapter 14, verse 10, but man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? God's grace provides eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ. Can I get a volunteer to read Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, please?
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Faye. So we see that sin separates you and I from God. But God's free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We should remember that always in our lives. In Job chapter 14, verse 14, we read, if a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes. Again, we live again if we are in Jesus Christ. Can I get a volunteer to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 57, please?
But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Carol. So we live again in Jesus Christ. We are so blessed and privileged to be Christians, and we should remember that we are Christians, but share that message with others. So the book of Job teaches us to trust God under all circumstances. Our responsibility to God is to obey him, to trust him, and to submit to his will, whether we understand it or not. God's in control. Remember that. And that completes our lesson tonight. Are there any questions or comments someone wants to share with us tonight?
Lenny, I'm always impressed that God let Job go through this because he had that much confidence in Job. You know, this book sets up a controversy between God and Satan. It's not really a controversy with Job. Job is the Job is the instrument that God uses to win his controversy with Satan. And for him to say, you know, Satan comes to God and he says, I've come from walking to and fro in the earth and men are evil. And God says, have you considered my servant Job?
Mm-hmm.
So God has this tremendous trust in Job. And he says to Satan, take everything he has. So Satan does. He says, take his help, but don't kill him. And he does. And he puts to lie. You know, Satan has made this argument to God. The only reason he serves you is because you give him all this stuff. You built a hedge around him. And God says, no, you're wrong. That's not man. I created man to be better than that. And so he puts up Job, and Job gets to be God's instrument to defeat Satan's argument. And that's a pretty honored position.
That's a very good point. When you study the book of Job and his life, he had everything. But we have to remember, it's God's will, not man's will. And he triumphed over Satan. Very good point. Are there any other additions or questions or response? Well, I appreciate everybody's...
Lenny?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I was just thinking, here's a wife. She wasn't very faithful to them and didn't have much belief. And, well, she just didn't give him credit for being who he was and believing in God. You'd think that she would know, just being his wife and how good he was. But she just was mindless, I think. She just wanted things to be better. She didn't care how, but she just wanted better things. So it always amazes me that a wife would do that.
Well, yeah, that's true. And when you think about Abraham and Sarah, she laughed because God said she's going to have a child at the age of 90. But yet, God's in control. Very good point, Jimmy.